Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Foxy Digitalis podcast. I am Brad Rose. How's everybody doing? Hope your week is going well. I'm recording this and it looks like it's about to storm outside, which it's, you know, it's April in Oklahoma, so that's no big deal. But hopefully I can get this recorded and exported before power potentially goes out. This week, I'm really excited to share this interview I did with Kira McSpice. I've written about her last two records. Her newest one, and then the one. So, the Compartmentalization of Decay just came out last week, and then 2 years ago, Postdrome came out. I'm pretty sure I wrote about that. Now I'm like, did I? I think I did. It's a great record, but this new one. It feels like leveled up. I don't know. It's been a record that's really kind of stuck in the back of my consciousness or something since I heard it a couple months ago. And talking to her about it, it opened up like a whole, another layer to it, which is my favorite thing about talking to artists about their records. But, it's a very heavy record. It's a lot about dealing with processing trauma, like some really awful shit. But then, you know, it was funny when we started doing this interview, I had a bunch of questions. I ended up throwing most of them out because just where the conversation took when she started explaining this concept of the compartmentalization of decay. And it's really incredible. Kira's awesome. And was really open and thoughtful and everything in our conversation. And I think, I came away from it. I remember after we got done and I just kind of went and sat in the other room for a little while, just kind of thinking about what we talked about and then put the record on. I was like, yeah, okay. It's got another, it's like an extra bit of oomph in there, you know? But I will say too, and I think I mentioned this when we were talking, as it's like heavy as the record is and as like visceral as it is, it's also like surprisingly listenable. Like, I mean, that sounds, you know, I mean that in the way of there, you know, there's some music that I love that I have a hard time listening to. Right. It's because of the, like maybe the subject matter or like the way it's arranged or composed or something, you know, there's just something about it. There's a, like a harshness to it that makes it, it's like, you really have to be in this right state of mind, this right mood to be able to sit and listen to it. And that's true of this record on one level. Like if you want to really like dig into it and take it in and really examine, you know, some of the things, the subject matter and the way that she presents it and sings about it and imbues the music with it. Like, yeah, like you can't just do that. Just be like, hey, it's Sunday morning. Fuck yeah, let's go do it. But there is like on the flip side of that, it's just such a well-written and recorded record. Like the songs are just so good. The thing that I keep coming back to is I love the way that the songs are written and composed and recorded. It really kind of frames the true like star of this record, which is Kira's voice. Like her vocals on this album are otherworldly and just unbelievable. And so there is this thing about this record that just from a music standpoint, like the artistry of it, I can just kind of put it on and really appreciate and want to listen to it and not have to like have the ability because of how good the songs are to sort of separate the two, like the heaviness of the conceptual framework of it and just appreciate the songs. And I think that's pretty amazing. And so then like when you fully take it in and you put those two things together, it's just mind blown. So yeah, I really love just talking to her, and I'm at Kira's music. I'm excited to see what she does next. This is somebody who she's become one of those artists where as soon as I know there's something new that she's working on, she's got coming out, sign me up. I'm in. So we recorded this a couple weeks ago. Go check out The Compartmentalization of Decay. It's out now on digital formats and on vinyl. And yeah, hugest recommendation. And hope you enjoy the interview. My guest today is Kira McSpice, whose new album, The Compartmentalization of Decay, got it out. There we go. Comes out April 12th. And how's it going?
Hi. Yeah, it's a mouthful.
Yeah, I didn't even... Compartmentalization is a big word. And it's such a weird thing to... This is reading things versus saying them. Because like I've read this title 50 times or something. I think that's literally the first time I've said it out loud.
Yeah. So, I had to practice saying it. I still get so scared every time.
do you have like an abbreviation for it that you use?
I do, actually. So it's like an official term. So the abbreviation is CODIT.
Okay.
So it's The Compartmentalization of Decay in Trees. But I made it shorter because I thought The Compartmentalization of Decay was just a cooler title than having that in Trees at the end. But I just call it CODIT.
Okay.
Because it's easier to say.
It is easier. That is cool. The in Trees part, that's kind of interesting. Huh. Yeah, that's cool. Well, I guess, I mean, this is kind of a good, I guess we can start with this because we're talking about it. Like, what is the particular story behind the name?
Oh, well, so we're getting into it. Just let's see. I don't even know where to start with this. I guess it's a whole thing.
Okay.
So I guess I'll just start from the beginning. During COVID, I wanted to make a garden, and I wanted to make a really huge, grand garden. Because I had just gotten laid off. I was a florist and I had nothing to do. And I was also afraid that there wasn't going to be any more food left on the earth for us to eat. And so I made the garden and I was watching all these YouTube videos about how, like, all the different ways you could plant a garden and plant certain things. And one of the recommended videos was about, tapping trees, like maple sugaring, and I clicked on it because I was like, whoa, that would be cool if I had a whole I just wanted to do everything. And and I was like, I was watching the video about how to do it, and like I normally, you know, scroll down to the comments and I'm like, oh, what are other people saying about this? And someone was like, does this hurt the tree? Is this something that could hurt it? And I was like, whoa, that's intense. Like, yeah. I don't know why, it just kind of like struck me all of a sudden, and I was like, does it? And I went down this huge rabbit hole, totally forgot about the garden, and was like, all right, I'm going to research this, and came across this biologist named Alex Shigo, who is a real character. And I was still like in my YouTube hole, so I was watching all these YouTube videos of of this guy who, he's like intense. He's an intense arboriculture man. Like, he just has all these opinions, and I guess he was met with like a lot of resistance about all of his theories and stuff. And he was the one who coined the phrase the compartmentalization of decay, and I immediately ordered his book and was like, this is fascinating, like this is so cool. And and I have it right here, I'm holding it. Cool. But just to give you an idea of like the kind of guy he is, there's like a quote at the end of it, like at the very end of the book, that says, "Kicking and screaming, they resisted being dragged from the shadows of the cave out into the light of understanding." I'm like, this guy,
holy crap, is
freaking like intense. he's so yeah. much, and I loved him. And he like had all these videos of walking around his yard, talking about trees, and just also just getting mad at other scientists. Like in the videos, he'd be like pissed off about like, and they didn't believe me about my theories, but they're right. And I was like, man, I wish I could meet this guy. Like, I really wanted to go meet him and talk to him. But he died in 2006, and it's like, dang it, like that sucks. Yeah. I wanted to talk to him, but luckily there's like all these videos that exist and his book. And anyway, so I ordered this book. Turns out he signed it. The book that I ordered like has his signature in it. And I was just like, I don't know. There were just so many little things that it just felt magical. And I started really thinking about this as a concept, and it got dark. Because, you know, it's about like a wound, and mm-hmm. I was, you know, like, okay, what is the biggest wound that I've had in my life? And so, yeah, that's where the name came from. So, then I started relating it to all of that. And, but it's just really fascinating. Like, I just went down this huge wormhole of just trees and how they don't heal. They seal themselves shut through this. So I haven't even talked about like what the process is. The process is like, it creates a wall that creates a barrier from any like pathogens or like any sort of diseases or insects or anything that could get in. So it creates this wall, and that seal, it compartmentalizes the wound. So,
dang.
Yeah, sorry, that was a lot.
No, that's incredible. I mean, like, just hearing, yeah, I don't know. I feel like, because I've listened to the record a number of times, and, you know, and I've read, like, the stuff that you all are labeled, whoever wrote, you know, about the, like, with the description and stuff. But I feel like that explanation, like, that just crystallized a lot of, like, this idea of, yeah. It doesn't heal, it just seals it off.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a powerful idea. Like, take out the tree part of it. that's great. But yeah, I mean, that's what a, like, I don't know, to like a way to think about like trauma or like the, and damn, you kind of just blew my mind, Kira.
Sick. blew my mind too when I was like thinking about it, because I've been in therapy forever, and I'm just really like tuned into, I don't know, just like, I was also like at the time I was also reading The Body Keeps the Score. Do you know that book? It's like,
no, I know of it, yes. Yeah,
it's like the trauma book, right, that everybody knows and loves. And yeah, it was like impossible for me to get through, though. It's so dense and huge, and
right,
but it was like in my mind. And so when I came across this tree concept, I was like, okay, this is just, they got married, and in my mind.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'm okay, I'm like going way off script now, because now my brain is just going and thinking about the compartmentalization of the cape idea, and then like the trauma and that. So one of the things that, like, the thing that is the most striking to me about this record is your voice, and it's incredible, and it's just, there's like a, to me, when the way you sing, there's like a real physicality to it. And thinking about what you were just saying and how, like, because I, like so many of us who are musicians and write music, like, it is my way of processing the world, but like my emotions or my, you know, all those things. And thinking about, like, I'm like coming up with this question. I'm just talking now, but I'm like, there's something really special to me about like the physicality of, because I think a lot about like sound, like the physical nature of sound and how it feels in our bodies, and, or, and the way you sing, to me, like, there's a connection there that I'm working on, but
you're on the, I know what you're saying. You're totally on the right track with it too. 'Cause like in the album, like the way that I credited everybody who played on the album, they were all characters. And so I, like, my character, like the voice is the narrator, and it's almost like I wanted it to kind of be like, I'm sort of like casting a spell as well. Like I telling a story, but also starting to like do this process of the compartmentalization of decay, of sealing this wall. And the physicality, like I wanted each thing to have its own like character, and that really kind of kept me on the right track, like with the concept, because, you know, sometimes it's hard to stay in this world. It's so intense and emotional. But by creating a story and then creating characters within that story that are all depicted by like the instruments like surrounding it, that kind of helped me carry it.
Yeah. On. Like, did it help? I mean, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I say it's like really intense. It is really intense, but it's like super listenable, which I'm always, albums like this, it always surprises me when it's something like knowing some of the background with it and how, and, you know, all of, and hearing what you're saying. But it's like, if I don't think about it too much, I can just put it on and just listen to it. And it's just like, fuck yeah, this is, you know.
Well, that's good. I'm scared. I'm always like, like if a family member is like, oh, like show me your music, I'm like, oh no.
That's always, talking about like writing it as have this narrative, almost distance. I mean, there's not distance, because it's, I can still tell it's like very personal, but like, how is it for you now when you, can you listen to it? Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah. So it's been a journey, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I've really, during the writing of it, it was so hard to deal with. Like, I was having nightmares. I was in a funk. I was, like, not fun to be around. And that writing process was probably the hardest part. The recording process is like so much fun to me that I like didn't really think, like, in like a fucked up way, I was just like, oh, and we can add this and this and like, you know, and I was just like, you know, just excited about producing and adding all the cool sounds. But so that's like, that was like the high point. And then getting the masters back was just like, oh no, this is real. Like I created this thing and yeah, there's no going back. And now it feels really good. Now I, like the first time I listened to the masters, it was this really, there was like a lot of dread because they're masters and it's like, okay, these are, it's sealed, you know, like, and, but at the same time, it's actually sealed. Like the trauma has been sealed. And that's like the last song is the fourth wall has been sealed. So I am like doing, I sealed it into the album. And so it felt really good to be like, yes, it is contained. It is compartmentalized. And that's why it was so important that I got vinyl made, because I wanted to hold it in my hands and be like, it is sealed in here now. Just like a wound is sealed in a tree.
Dang. Yeah. That's, what's it like? Have you played these songs out yet?
Yeah, I've played them. I have like a release show coming up that I feel like is going to be a little more intense, but I've like played the songs like last year. I just kind of like, I don't know. It's like I'm acting, you know, like I don't really go there.
Yeah.
Like I do go there emotionally, but like it's like I am acting out the compartmentalization of decay rather than like I am not living inside of it, you know?
I think that's I'm really happy to hear that, because I couldn't imagine, like, if you were in that other space trying to perform these in front of people.
Oh god. Yeah, that'd be brutal. Like, I would not be doing well.
Yeah, that would be tough. That's really, I don't know. I think that's really, I just think that's really fascinating and really cool. Like, do you have the record? Are they done? Like, have you got them back from the plant? Did that feel kind of like cathartic getting those and like holding it?
So I went to Softwax in Philly to get them, and I like went to where they made them because I was like, this is a really huge moment. Like, this is my first time getting vinyl pressed. And like, it was just like, oh my God, this is actually happening. And they like, it presented me with one. And I just like, was like, uh-oh. Like, I just like, was having such a hard time not losing it. And they were like, okay, we're going to take a picture of you with it. You know, and I was just like, like, I'm gonna cry. I was like, they took this picture and I'm just like, my eye is like twitching. I'm just like, oh no, no, no. And like, yeah, finally they stopped, like it was over. And I just cried and I was like, thank you so much. And like, I gave them a candle and I was just, it was just like such a beautiful moment to be able to pick up the vinyl. And I still haven't, I'm like afraid of it. I still haven't opened it yet.
Oh, like the plastic wrap off?
Yeah, like take off the shrink wrap. And like, because it was like such a emotional like moment that I was like, I need to do this alone and like away from people. And I still haven't done it yet because I'm just, I don't know.
I don't know. It feels like it's been a while since I had like a record come out, but like I had this one record I think it was 2012 when it came out, but it was sort of like this monument to my depression that I made, and I sometimes think it saved my life, but that's a whole other thing I won't get into. But like when I got it, like I felt like it was like performing a ritual almost of like opening it, and so I know what I mean, like I had to really mentally prepare for that and make sure the moment was the right moment or something.
Right. No, I totally get it. I definitely resonate with the ritual part of it. That's like a huge thing for me. Like I really love performing rituals like before shows or to manifest certain things. And this album as a whole, it feels like its own ritual of sealing and compartmentalizing. So yeah, I definitely resonate with that.
On a completely kind of different speed, I did want to just ask about your collaborators on like the people who played on the record.
Yeah.
If you could just mention them and just talk about them a little bit.
So Tyler Skoglund is the engineer and co-producer. He mixed it and he worked with me throughout the whole process on it. He was amazing, very patient. It wouldn't be what it was, like what it is now without him, because I just felt so comfortable working with him. We worked on other like projects before. And so I really like, we both are on the same page. Like I know what he's thinking. He knows what I'm thinking and we don't even really need to like talk about it. Like we just know what it's supposed to sound like. And so he freaking killed it. There was like one moment that like the recording of this album was like, it was fun, but of course, like the vocals were really hard because it's just such an emotional thing. But he just like created this space that just felt so comfortable. And we did have fun too. Like it wasn't all like intense. Like there was this moment where I really wanted to have like the sound of like water in a bucket, like to kind of have it be like the sound of sap dripping into a metal bucket. And we like dug through his garage and looked for like, it was like a turkey injector. It was called the Cajun injector. And we like filled it with water and dripped it into a metal bucket. And we were just like trying not to laugh the whole time. I was like, this is wrong. Like, I don't know what. Like we were kind of losing it then, but yeah, like working with Tyler is so much fun. And so he was probably the biggest, like he is the backbone of this project for sure. And then next was William Pontero, who played guitar, and he is the characters, the Spile and the Fog. So Will is my husband. And we had a lot of time to kind of work out what we wanted it to sound like, but also he is the tone master. He just like knew exactly what the Fog would sound like, and the Spile is like this distorted sound, and he just has this great distortion, and he's just like so easy to work with. And he actually performs these songs with me.
Oh, nice.
So like our setup is like we both are like sitting and he plays the characters of the Fog and the Spile, and I like kind of have my guitar being sort of the structural element and then vocals and then vocal loops. So he's been like, I mean, he was there for the writing process, thank God, but unlucky for him, like he had to deal with me being like, all right, I'm just gonna dive into like trauma and just immerse myself in it. I don't know. But and then there's Kaylin Leung, who played trombone, phenomenal trombone player. Oh my God, like we had this one session where like we were like, okay, Kaylin, just like go off, you know, we just want it to sound messed up. And he just like, it was just the craziest sounds I had ever heard.
Oh, that's awesome.
Coming from this trombone, and he was just like improvising, just like doing this, I don't know, it was beautiful. And he like made this beautiful trombone chorale at the end of the album that really like kind of is like this triumphant, like it has been sealed, and like he's supposed to resemble the sun. And so it's just like really triumphant, beautiful, shining, you know, brass instrument. And
I know the part you're talking about, like I can hear it in my head. Like I know you're talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it wasn't like, oh, and I didn't mention Tyler played synth, on the record too, which the synth is the red sky, because in the story the sky is red. What else? There's like little things like I played the Karugaphone. Do you know what that is?
No, I have no idea.
Do you know in like school, or there's like those whirly tubes, you like whirl them around and go like,
yeah,
that's what it is. It's just a fancy name for that. And so that's like the wind. But there wasn't like a ton of people on this record though. Like usually I go overboard and I'm like, I gotta have everybody involved. But for this, I was like, no, like I want the characters, like I want it to be very specific, and the characters, like everybody serves a purpose here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really great working with all of them though.
That's really cool. Yeah. I think, because you mentioned how like a lot making the record, like recording the record, like you all had fun and there wasn't all just, I think some of that sort of feeling creeps its way in that, like I think that's part of like when I think about how I can just listen to it, it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm just making this up in my head, but I feel like that's in there. And I think that's important. Like, and I think that that's like a cool sort of like an interesting dichotomy of like, it's this really heavy record, but like, just because of that doesn't mean that you can't have fun doing it. Like, it's not.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's strange. Like it's definitely, there's like a dissonance in my brain about it, because it's like this. Yeah. Like, how did we make it a fun process when it was like so heavy? But I just love recording so much. It's like my favorite thing in the whole world, you know? So I'm just like blissed out while it's happening. So
just because I love record, like that's one of my favorite things is record. And I think that's probably why I am a musician, because it's like the place that I can go to. It's like, I love that process so much, so I can bring these like really intense things into it. And it just helps. It like, it gives me distance, or it like helps melt away some of the intensity, because just the process is, I just fucking love it.
Totally. Yeah. I think it really helped me work through this trauma for sure. I mean, it was the thing that got me through it for sure. And it's something like, the trauma was something I had held on to for almost 10 years. And I just like, was like, I'm going to deal with this now. And I just can't imagine a better way to deal with it. You know, like it just, I highly recommend it to anybody that needs to, you know, do that kind of thing, like have that catharsis. And I feel so much better about it. It really does feel sealed off after everything.